We begin the current Tav, Masech the Baba Bas, Tav Kufayin Beis. We begin on the third line Tav of the Tav of the Yamet. The Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous Tav, where the Gemara was discussing regarding a Shtar Me'ucher, which we said we run into different problems because of that. So there was, one of the explanations was, what we can do is, one of the Takanas Drabbanan is, when you're writing the Shoivu, when you're writing the receipt, then write the date of that correlating document, and if you don't, just write it unspecified. So related to that discussion regarding if you know the dates, then you verify that date, and if not, you write a different date. So on that, the Gemara continues in a related vein. Amlu Rava Bar Rav Shila. He said, Lahanu Kasvi Shtar Akniyasi. He said to those who write these documents of acquisition, of transfer, which specifically what we're talking about is those that write documents of gifts, of matana. And because there's no insurance regarding a gift, the person who's giving the gift doesn't take any liability for anything that happens, and it's not going to run into any problems of collecting from lekuches from those that he had bought from him after that point in time, encumbered properties, as we'll see, because that's going to be an important thing regarding the dating of the document. Or another interpretation, it could even be talking about a shtar mechira, a document of a sale, which even though there is a chrais, there is responsibility, there's insurance, the one who sells it says, if anything happens, I'll compensate you. Where there the halacha is that they could collect from lekuches, but there the halacha is that the collection of lekuches could be from the moment of the sale, even without the documentation, because it's the witnesses themselves that have the word get out, even without the shtar. As the Gemara says, Cheskes Batim, we had some Mem Alpha and Beis, that Rav said, if someone sells his field with witnesses, then that person, the consumer, could collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. As the Gemara there explains that there's a fundamental difference between loans and between sales regarding when it's done, regarding if it's clandestine or if it's done out in the public. So halva is only with documentation that you could collect from the Chasim Mishabadim, whereas a sale, even though there's a chrayis over there, you're not going to run into the problems we're going to describe for this halacha. So therefore he told them, when you write these documentations of transfer, if you know the date of when the actual transfer happened, meaning from the one who had given the gift, or in the other explanation, from the one who had made the sale, then kasvu, then write today, that day which was it was given the gift, or that it was sold. Meaning, even though this is you're writing at a later point in time, write that original date. The reason for that is because you have to be concerned, if you're not going to write the original date of when the gift was given or when the sale was made, maybe after that point in time, before you're writing the document today, let's say a few weeks later, he had given it to someone else, which if you're going to write today's date, it's going to seem like that other person came before and that he gets it, but the truth is really this gift or this sale was actually before that, so therefore write the original date so this guy will rightfully get this gift or this sale. Now, the reason why it was specifically said to be a shtar matano or a shtar mechira is because this shtar akniyasa, what we're describing of transfers, is the halacha would only apply in those cases, because in contrast to a loan document, where there when there is a chrayas, then the halacha is you're only allowed to write the day of what you're in today, even though the actual loan took place a few weeks before. The reason that is because if you're going to write the prior date, it's going to be a shtar muktam, it's going to be a predated document, and it's going to be invalid. Because the halacha, what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up collecting from the kuches from the date that was written in the document inappropriately. Because the halacha is, you're only allowed to collect from the kuches mishubadim only from the time of when it was written in the document. Which is from that point on, that then it's like taking from the borrower lands after that his properties become mishubid only from when it's written in the document. So therefore, if you would write the date of when the loan actually happened in this document now, when you're writing it a few weeks later, it would be invalid because you're going to come to collect from the lekuches that bought between the time of the loan and the writing of the document. Now the thing is that those lands do not become a shubah. There's no lien on them until after the writing of the document. And the reason for that is because it's the witnesses that are signed on the document that they get the word out. As the Gemara says regarding a loan, in contrast to Mechira, and Perkhez Kazabatim, that so therefore those who bought after the loan, but before it was written in the document, so if in general when it's written in the document, and then people bought after that when it was known that there's a lien, so then they're causing a loss to themselves, and then you rightfully could collect from them. But before it's written in the document, then they appropriately bought it, And actually, moreover, even if the document was written during the daytime and it was signed at the nighttime, that would be considered even the shtar muktam and be invalid, because the lekuches would not be meshubed only from the day when it's actually signed, and the lender is going to end up collecting from the day when it was written, which is inappropriate because it's a day early, as the Mishnah teaches. Now, maybe getting daf yitzayin amud aleph, if it's written during the daytime and signed at the nighttime, it's possible. Now, although the Reb Shimon says it's kasher, that's because Reb Shimon says old gittin, old documents that are written in the day and signed at night, is possible except for gittin nashim. And there, the Gemara explains the reason why he differentiates by gittin nashim. But regarding other documentations, everyone, even Reb Shimon, agrees it's going to be possible because it's a shtar muktim, because it's the actual writing in the document that creates the shibud. So therefore, this halacha that Rav Bar of Shila was telling them of the shtar kniyas is again either by a shtar matana or a shtar mechira, where there's no problem about achrayis, so there's no problem a shtar muktam collecting before, or let's say by a shtar mechira, even if there will be achrayis, it will collect from before, that there is rightfully, because it actually does go by the time of the actual sale. In contrast to a shtar hava, where there it actually does depend on the writing of the document, then you can't write the original date of when the loan was. You have to write the date today of when it's written in the document, because actually the document that creates the shibur of the karkois. So therefore he was telling them that, look, if you know the original date, so then write that date. Because as we said, it really did take effect from back then, and so that if you're going to write it now, the date 3 weeks later, someone that was in between might take it first, but really this person who got the gift should get it first. But if you don't know the date, then kitzvah yimei dekamisah bein, then you should write the date that you are on today, not in the earlier dates, so that it shouldn't appear like falsehood. As Rabbeinu Gershom explains, because if you're going to not want to write from the date that you're writing it today, but rather you're going to try to ascertain and assess and round off what probably was the date when the actual kinyan had happened, but you don't know exactly, and you're going to write approximately which day, it might look like a lie, because it might end up being not that exact date, and that's going to seem like a lie. So either write that original one if you know, but if you don't, then you have to write the date that you're writing it today. Similar halacha regarding merzi kishikra, that you have to write something that there's no appearance of any falsehood. Amalhu Rav l'safrei, Rav said to his scribes, b'chenamalhu Rav Huna l'safrei, so Rav Huna said to his scribes, kikamisu b'shili, when you're writing a document in this place called Shili, which either in a document of a sale, or a document of a loan, or a document of a gift, or any type of recollection of testimony, then kisvu, then you should write in that document the place where you're sitting at the time when you're writing it. In other words, then you should write bishili. In this place is where we wrote what we saw in that place, wherever that place was. But va'avagav demesirin l'chumi l'bihini, even though the job that was given over to you was in Hini, and that's where, let's say, the event actually happened, doesn't make a difference. Don't write that place. Write the place where you're writing it right now. So to Kikamisa Behini, when you're in Hini, Kitzvah Behini, write that you're writing this in Hini, Vavagav de Mesir Nuchomila Beshili, even though you were given over the job and everything happened in Shili, but if where you're writing it right, where you're writing it, again, the same idea as Rabbeinu Gershom, is that the Loi Mechzi Keshikah shouldn't appear like a falsehood, because you wrote it here. How can you write that you wrote it over there? Now the Gemara continues in a related topic to the halacha of a Mishnah, which we were describing this halacha of writing a shaver according to one opinion, where if let's say the borrower paid up half, or if he paid up whole, but the lender says he doesn't have a document, so then you write a receipt for him. So I'm a Rava. Rava says, "Hi man, this individual, meaning a lender, denakut shtar, who's holding a loan document, bar meyazuzi, for a value of 100 zuz that's owed to him." Barmani tells the scribes, he says, "Look, shavi nahali tre b'nei chamshin chamshin. You know what? Instead of me having one document of 100, give me 2 documents that he owes me for 50. And the reason why he wants that is so that when the borrower pays me 50 zuz, it'll be very easy. I'll just tear up that document of 50 zuz, and then I won't have to go ahead and write him a receipt." And that says the Gemara, loy meshvinhu. No, we do not write him these 2 documents of 50 instead of the 1 document of 100, unless if we have the acceptance and the awareness of the bar. My time, what's the reason? Because of the Rabbanan Milsa, the Rabbanan went and instituted a takana that we should not deviate from the document as it was originally written. Why? Because this original document of 100 zuz, we don't let anyone switch unless both parties agree to make it into 250s. Why isn't 250 the same as 100? No, because that 100 is preferable for the lender and preferable for the borrower. How so? Explains the Gemara. Nichle lamalva is preferable for the lender today, so that when the borrower pays up half the loan to the lender, sheyachuf lepari, that that will force the borrower to pay up the rest. Why? Because the borrower will be worried that maybe he's going to lose that receipt, because that's the halacha that we said in the Mishnah, that when he pays up half, so they don't write up a new document according to one opinion, rather they give it back. He holds on to the original document, and now he just writes a receipt for half of it to the borrower. Now the borrower is concerned that he might lose the receipt, and therefore what's going to end up happening is the lender is going to then collect the whole thing on him. So the lender prefers to have one document, because now the borrower has to have a receipt, and he's got to hold on to it. He's afraid, so he'll pay up quickly so that he can get the documentation back, and he doesn't always have to be worried about a receipt. But v'nicha l'leiva, it's also preferable for the borrower. Why? Ki heiches, so that when he does pay up 50 zuz, the nifke mishtari, that creates some type of a flaw in the document of the lender, because turns out that the lender's document is not a full-fledged document, because it says 100, but really could only collect for 50. And the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Kesubah that pays Zayin Min Aleph, that let's say by a woman's Kesubah, when it's Paguma, which means to say also that it's not a full-fledged Kesubah anymore because she already collected some of it, Allah is Leiter Fe'el B'Shavua. She could only collect the rest with an oath. The same thing applies, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, to all documentation. So the Bar prefers that because people don't lightly take an oath. And therefore, he likes that it's one document, because if it's one, and then he already paid up half, the lender's going to have to swear to collect the rest, and he might not do that. So therefore, it's preferable for both, and therefore no one can switch it without the other party's consent. So Tuvama Ravi says the opposite. Regarding a lender that had two documents for 50 apiece, each one was 50 zuz. And he didn't want to hold on to two documents. So he said to the scribe, do me a favor, you see this two, he owes me two $50 documents, write me for one of 100. And that says the Gemara, no, we don't go ahead and write for him one of 100. Because Avad Rabbanan Milsa, the Nichalei Lamalva, the Nichalei Leiva, the rabbis went and made something which was preferable for the lender and for the borrower, meaning to have two 50s instead of 100. How so? Explains the Gemara. Nichalei Lamalva, it's preferable for the lender, kehechaduli nifkim shtari. So that if it's going to happen that the borrower is going to pay him up 50 zuz, he won't have to go ahead and write him a shaver and then have his original document flawed. No, very simply, he'll just give him back the document of the 50 and he'll hold on to the other document of the 50, and then his document will not become pogrom. He won't have to swear to collect the other 50. But nechad eleven, that's also preferable for the borrower, kadesh alayachav lapar, so that he won't be forced, coerced into paying up the rest, because he won't have to be worried about a receipt, because he doesn't have a receipt. He just got back the document of the 50, because instead of having 100, there were two 50s, and therefore, you can't take the two 50s around to 100, because each party has a reason why they would like, again, either one, either the 100 or the two 50s, and therefore, you cannot write it without both parties' consent. Also, another similar case, Amar Ravashi says, Haiman denokid shtara, regarding a lender that's holding on to a loan document of Bar Meir Zuzi, that he's owed 100 zuz. Varman, he tells to the scribes, Shavinu nahali chad bar chamshin. Write for me, instead of this document that he owes me 100, write for me one document that he owes me 50 from that original date. And the reason is, he says, because he paid me up the rest already. Do me a favor, rip up this one of 100, just write me a new one of 50. Says the Gemara, loy mashvin le. We do not write for him another document, not from the original date, and for sure not, as we're going to see, from this new date. From this new date when he's telling them to write me a new one and onward. Why? My timer. What's the reason? Says Gemara, Mina, we say, Hi Mifra Parah. We have to be concerned that actually maybe this document that is owed 100 was actually paid up already. Vamale Havli Shtaroi, so the bar, after he paid up the whole document, said to the lender, give me my document. Vamale Yukasli, he said to him, I'm sorry, I lost it. So the halacha is because of Mitabris, so he wrote him a receipt. Now, Umapik Lehai, but the problem is, then he's going to go ahead and produce this new document of the 50 zuz. Vambalein is going to tell the borrower, Hayachrinu, this is a different debt that you borrowed from me at a later point in time. And it's going to seem like he's right, because here he has a different document of 50, which was never a loan of 50. He only had paid up a document of 100. So therefore, you don't write, even though it seems like this guy is actually being noble in the sense of saying, here, he doesn't owe me 100 anymore, rip it up and give me one of 50. It's not true, because that 100 was already paid up, and he gave him a receipt, but now you're going to write him a new one for 50, and that he doesn't have a receipt for, and he's going to come to collect unfaithfully that of 50, and therefore you're not allowed to even tear up 100 and write him a new one of 50. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, which continued relatedly to the previous Mishnah regarding when we had a lender and the borrower, and we said, okay, so regarding the writing of the receipt or not, we would write a new document, where we said, okay, who loses out? Does the lender have to have the lower hand? Does the borrower have the lower hand? So a similar type of discussion, the Mishnah says, Shnei Achim. We have two brothers, Echad ani ve'echad asher. One's pauper, one's wealthy, and as we'll see, each one would want something else to happen. Mishnah is going to tell us what the halacha is. V'nich le'navi and merchad ze'beis abad. The father left over for them a bathhouse or olive press. So it says the Mishnah as follows. Asan l'schar, if, depends what it was, will work better for the pauper brother or for the wealthy brother. If the father had, when he had this bathhouse or this olive press, it was made for renting out, so the halacha is a schar lemtza. So then they maintain what its utility was when the father was alive. That's how they maintain it after the father's death. So then they go ahead and rent it out, and then the revenue will be split equally, which is good for the poor brother. Now, as Rashbam points out, although that the Gemara does tell us in the first parak Yud Gimel Amud Aleph that there is halacha of gur hayagud, that one brother could force the other brother, look, either you buy it out or I'll buy it out. Here that would not apply, as the Gemara there actually explains this Mishnah, because here you have good, but you don't have agud. Meaning, because it has to be that either one could buy each other out, and here the wealthy brother could buy out the poor one, but the poor one cannot buy out the wealthy one, and therefore he can't force him to sell it, and therefore they would have to maintain the status quo of it having rented out, and the poor brother will share with the wealthy brother the revenue. But let's say Asan La'atzma. Let's say the father, when he had this, he didn't have it for commercial purposes. He had it for private, individual purposes, the bathhouse and the olive press. He made it for himself. So then, Harei HaShar Amar La'ani, here the wealthy brother could tell the poor brother, look, Kach L'cha Avodim, Yurchutzu B'merchad, you could buy for yourself slaves and have them wash themselves in the bathhouse, because in that chazaka, which the father had left it in that presumptive state, that's how it's going to be maintained, and therefore he doesn't even let the poor brother to go ahead and bring other people to use the bathhouse and to maybe make some money off that. No, only from the family members. This is a private thing that our father had. For me, it's good because I have many slaves. I'm going to have them all wash themselves there. But you, look, you could buy yourself slaves and have them bathe there, but you can't have anyone else go ahead and use it, let's say, in the commercial type of purposes. So too, you could buy for yourself olives and use them in the olive press, but we're not renting it out. We're using like our father used to use it, and that in that case, the wealthy brother gains more than the poor brother, because at least the wealthy brother has olives to use in the olive press. Now the Mishnah continues going back to the topic of this parak of Get Pashut regarding documents. It says the Mishnah, Shnayim Shehoyu Bi'ir Achas, there were two individuals in one city. Shem Echad Yesu ben Shimon, one of them was called Yesu ben Shimon, but Shem Echad Yesu ben Shimon, the other one also had the same name of Yesu ben Shimon. Says the Mishnah the following halachas. Ein yichayim lohitzi shtar chayv zel zeh. They cannot produce a documentation, one on the other, where, let's say, to show that, hey, you lent from me, you borrowed from me this $100. The reason for that is because the other one could then claim, what do you mean? The document that you're producing against me is the document that I returned to you when you paid me back the money that I lent you, because you had borrowed from me, and I just gave it back to you. We don't know which Yosef ben Shimon, therefore they cannot produce a document saying, here, he owes me, because then the other one could just as well say, it's not true. This is what you had borrowed from me, and I'd given it back to you. So too, v'loy achar yochel lohitzi aleyen. Neither one of them, no one else from this city, could produce against any one of these Yosef ben Shimons a shtar chayv, a document of a debt, because each one could reject the claimant to his other one and say, no, it's not me, it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. Unless if there would be witnesses who would testify and say, no, we know it was you that had borrowed, but in a document, there's no proof, because it just says Yosef ben Shimon. So each one could say, it's not me, it was the other Yosef ben Shimon. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, if someone finds amongst his documents, shtarish al Yosef ben Shimon perua, that the document of Yosef ben Shimon was paid up, so then, shtori shneim perun. Then the documents of both Yosef and Shimon are paid up. Which actually, the Gemara is going to ask on this halacha, which makes it sound like only because the document says that it was paid up, only then could it not be collected against Yosef and Shimon. Where that seems to be contradicted from the Reisha that made it sound like you can never collect from Yosef and Shimon in any situation. And the Gemara will answer that question. But that's what the Mishnah is saying, is that if it says Yosef ben Shimon is paid up, so now we don't know which one. So either one you can't collect from, because it might be that one that was the one that was paid up. Now concludes the Mishnah, Ketzed Yasu. How should they do if, let's say, they want to borrow one from the other? This Yosef ben Shimon, they're friends, we have the same name, but one wants to borrow from the other. We said that he can't produce a document, so what could they do to take care of that problem? Or let's say from another person, or to buy land. What are they ever supposed to do if they can never prove that it's him and not the other Yosef ben Shimon? So says the Mishnah, Yishalshu. What they should do is they should go to a third generation. I mean, they should write the grandfather. This one will write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, and this one will write Yosef ben Shimon ben Naphtali. Now, but says the Mishnah, Vim Hayu Mishalashim. But if let's say they were third generation, the same two, that both their names and their father's names and the grandfather's names were the same, Then Yikas v'Simon. Then they should write some identifying feature. They'll write Yisav ben Shimon, that's the short one, or the white one, or he borrowed from the Yisav ben Shimon, that's long or dark. So you write some identifying feature. And says the Mishnah, b'mhayu musamanim, and if their identifying features were the same too, then you kasva kain. Then write, if let's say one of them was a kain, you write that Yosef, the kain, borrowed from Yosef, the Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues with halacha that relates back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, hahushtar denafig lebeidin ed Rav Huna. There was a certain document that was produced in the court of Rav Huna to have a kisiv bey that was written on this document as follows. Ani Pliny bar Pliny, the one who had written the document, wrote that me, this person, the son of that person, Levisi mana mimcha, I borrowed a mana, 100 zuz, from you. Now, an individual was in possession of this document, who was claiming that that person who wrote this document, he wrote and he signed this document, an IOU, and he gave it to me. And the reason is because I had lent him this amount of money. As the Mishnah teaches us later on, the Kofa Ayin Hamid Beis, that if someone produces a document written in the handwriting of the borrower, that he owes him money, so although he cannot collect from the Chasam HaShabbat, but he can collect from the Chasam B'nei Charen. Now, so the claimant says, he didn't have to write my name, because he gave it to me, and he wrote to me from you. In other words, from you, that you're holding on to this document. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara continues on Beis, so Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna in his court, he said, Mimcha, when it says in the document that from you, that I borrowed from you, that sounds like Afilim Resh Galusa, even from the head of the people in the diaspora of Afilim Shvar Malko, even from King Shapur. In other words, what he was saying was, we don't know who you is. Maybe it fell from the Resh Galusa or from someone else that he borrowed from, and it fell and you found it. The fact that you're holding on to it doesn't tell us anything that you're the one that lent the money and therefore you cannot collect with it. That's what Rav Huna said. Now, only Rav Chizal Rabba, but Rav Chizal said to Rabba, Puk Ayinbo, go out, analyze this topic, because in the evening time, Rav Huna is going to ask you, what do you think about this question that came up in the court? So he went out, he analyzed, and he found that a proof for this question from the following braisa. The braisa says, get a document that has witnesses, but doesn't have a date. Now this is one of the three gittin, divorce documents that are puzzle. But as the Gemara says in Amagarish from Pei Vav Med Aleph, if they end up get married, the child will be kosher. But initially, this is an inappropriate document. On that case of a document that a get that has witnesses but doesn't have a date, Abishol Eimer, he said and qualified. But imkasa by Gereshtia Hayyim, if it says that I divorced you today, kosher, then it's going to be kosher. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now is that, since witnesses who saw it in his hand, the husband's hand, who he's giving this document to the wife here in the court, and it's written in it today, so why is Abishol saying that it's kosher? This is one of the three gittin that we said that it's pasul. Must be because it's as if there's a date. Well, there's no actual date. It doesn't say the 3rd of Tishrei. But it says today. What's today? Today is today when it's being delivered in court. So says Rabbi Alma, so you see, Hayyim, when it says today, Hahu Yom Edinafik Bey, it's the day when it was being brought out in court, when this husband was going to divorce his wife, that's Mashma, that it's that date. So whatever that date was, which we can verify what was the date that he divorced her, although the document doesn't say the date, we will consider as if there was a full-fledged date in the document. So therefore, it says, Rabbi, so I could prove to you from this place, the Hachanam, the same idea would apply over here. Mimcha, when it says from you, who's from you? Mahu gava denafik mitu, say, yo, they mashma, from that person that it's being released from beneath his hand, it's mashma because in court they see it in his hands. And it says, if it's written in the document, the lender's name, it says his name. It doesn't say his name, it says you. Yeah, but just like when it says today, it doesn't say a date, and the document has to have a date to be kosher, Abishol says, if it says today, it's going to be kosher, because what's today? Today is the day it's being delivered in the court. Whatever date that is, it's like it's written in that document. Here also, when they see him bringing it, it's saying that from you means from him. It's as if it has his name in it, and therefore it will be kosher for him to be able to collect with this document. And that Amalei Abaye asked to Rabba, says, wait a second. How can you prove that from the Braisa? Bedilma Abishol, but maybe actually Abishol was actually not concerned with having a date on a get after the fact at all. And is going Kareb Elazar Svirle. He holds like Kareb Elazar. The Amar Eidim Asira Karti, who he holds that what creates the severance of a get are the witnesses that witness it being given over from husband to wife. As we learn in the Mishnah Perek HaMagarish, that when it says over there, which we just mentioned before, that there are three getting that apostle, but if they end up getting married, the child is going to be kosher, which are, if he writes with his own handwriting, and but there's no witnesses, or there are witnesses, but there's no date, or there is a date, but there's only one witness. So the Mishnah says over there that these three getting are apostle, but if they end up getting married, the child of that union will be kosher. And that Rabbi Elazar says that even though there is no witnesses, but if it was given over in front of witnesses, it's going to be kosher. And actually, by regular documentation, you could even collect from the Chasam Shabbatim. And the reason is because Rabbi Elazar holds that witnesses that are signed on the document is not biblical, it's just a takan chachamim. And therefore, just like Rabbi Elazar holds it's going to be kosher without witnesses, because of the reasoning is the primary part is the Eidim Asira, the witnesses who see it being given over, creates the get. So too, he would say it's kosher even without a date for that same reason. Because actually, as the Mishnah there teaches, one of those cases is Yeshlov Eidim Ve'im Bezman. If there are witnesses in the document, but there's no date, on that Mishnah of the Shleisha Gittin Psulim, on that Rabbi Elazar is going and says his general halacha, that even though there's no witnesses in that document that does not have Ezman, which is one of three cases, it's going to be kosher. Because the witnesses are not signed on the get, only because of Tikkun Olam. Seirosu, when even if you don't have a date, it's also only because of Tikkun Olam, as the Gemara explains in the Maybe Tinyana over there in Gittin Daf Yedzayin Amud Aleph, it's only because of, if you don't write a date in the get, he might come to protect his niece, who he's married to, and so that as if she was divorced, but really she was mezana when they were married, or because of the pay raise regarding of the wife's nechsim elug didim, that regarding selling inappropriately. But the whole date in the get is only tikkun olam. And therefore, however, but Rabbi Elazar would hold, since it was given over in front of witnesses, they are testifying what the date was and regarding the get. And therefore, maybe that Abishol doesn't even need a Zman. Don't say that the reason is because it says Ahiyoim, so it's like you see Zman, and if you want to extrapolate that when it says Mimcha, it's like as if it has his name. No, Abishol doesn't need a Zman, because it was like Rabbi Elazar, Eidim Asira Karti. Now, so then, why would Abishol then require that, to say that it's kosher only if it says Gerashti Ahiyoim, that today I divorced you? That's not because, says Abai, because of the date. Because actually, that would not be considered like a date. Just like Mimcha would not be considered as if it has the name of this person who is holding the document on the document. And it's just that Abishol is not concerned for the date like Rabbi Elazar. It's just that Abishol requires what's known as Yedayim Achichis, indicating factors, that from the moment that the woman received the get, that from that moment on she was divorced. Because if he wouldn't write Mehayoyim in the get, which does not have a date, how would we know even that it is even a get? Maybe the husband's intention is not to divorce her now with this get until the end of a year or two after she had received it. That's why Abishol requires that it should say Hayoim. Because once we don't have a date, usually when there's a date, so that like we say from Rabbi Yesi on Kafla, we mentioned this in Kafla and Vav Min Aleph, that Zmanish Shtar Meichichalav, the date proves that it should take effect from today. But when there's no date, then Abishol has a whole different concern. Then it might be that it's not even a get now. Maybe he only wants to be the get in 2 years. That's why it has to say Hayoim. And actually, as Rashbam says, that's what we write in our Gittin, Min Yema Dinan Ulalam, from today onward, just to say that it's going to take effect right away, but not because it's a date, because you don't need a date in the get, like Rabbi Elazar, where as long as the witnesses saw when it's given over, they know the date, that will validate it. And therefore, that's for a whole different reason that it's kosher. Aval hacha, but concludes Abai his question to Rabbi, but here in the case of Mimcha, leichish l'nefila. Maybe we should be concerned that it fell, like Rav Huna had said, where he said that Mimcha, who's Mimcha, who's from you? It could have fell from Resh Galusa, and therefore maybe it fell from someone else, and maybe you found it, and therefore that would not validate the one who's holding it to be able to collect with that document. On that Amalei, and that Rabbi responded back to Abaya, no, l'nefila leichashinu. We're not concerned for suspecting that the one who's holding a document, that it fell from someone else and that he found it. And says Rabbi, and how do I know that we're not concerned when we have a document to think that maybe it fell from someone else and this guy found it? It's not, as we learned in the halacha of our Mishnah. Mishnah said, Shnayim shahayu bi'ir achas, two individuals that were in the same city. Shem echad Yesim ben Shimon, one individual was called Yesim ben Shimon. V'shem echad Yesim ben Shimon, the other one was also called Yesim ben Shimon. Says the Mishnah, so we said that they cannot collect from each other, as we said, because either one might say, well, that was the one I gave you back when you had really borrowed from me. And also it said, that no one could collect from them, because I borrowed from you. No, that was the other Yesim and Shimon. And since there's no proof in the document, you can't use it to collect on either one of them. But those are the only things that are not allowed when we have two Yesim and Shimons in the same city. But the inference is, Haheim, but regarding if one of them has a document, Alacheirim, on someone else, let's say Yesim and Shimon produce a document that he is owed by someone else in the city, it sounds like that Yechaylin, that then they could collect from that other person, and that that other person cannot claim, what are you talking about? I didn't borrow money from you, this Yesim and Shimon. I borrowed from the other Yesim and Shimon. He must have dropped it and you must have found it. But Vamai. But why could this Yesim and Shimon collect from someone else? Leichish l'nafilo, we should be concerned that it fell. How could he prove that it's him? Maybe it was the other Yesim and Shimon that lent that guy money and he dropped it and this one found it. And therefore, I don't have to pay you because it might be the other Yesim and Shimon. Allah Shemamina rather says, Rabbah, what we can learn from this is that l'nafil, l'chashinan, we're not concerned for something falling. Where someone is in possession of a document, he could collect from it the loan from someone else that's written inside this document, even though the document doesn't prove who the lender is, but we assume that he's the Yesim and Shimon. So it just says, Rabbah, when it says levisim imcha from you, and he's holding on to the documentation, we assume that it is him and therefore he could collect with it. Whereas Babaya, who held like Ravuna, says, no. L'nefila d'chad l'cheshinin, you're right. Regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding saying that it fell from an individual, when it has to be specifically this individual, that we're not concerned. In other words, for example, if Yesim and Shimon's holding a document where it says that someone from in the world owes him money, which the only suspicion could be only the probability is very low that it fell from a specific individual and that this other specific individual found it. Because how is it going to be that happened to be that Yesim and Shimon dropped it, and that the same person with the same name, Yesim and Shimon, found it. So for that, that's what we infer from the halacha of the Mishnah, that we're not concerned. But regarding when it says, blank, from you I borrowed $100, where that's l'nafila d'rab, that is regarding if anyone, we don't know who you is, you could be anyone that could drop it. They're chashinan. They're for sure. We definitely could suspect that maybe anyone, people do drop things a lot, and anyone that would find it would be able to say he's the memcha, where like this guy who just happens to be holding the document, there says, Abai, you know, there we definitely are concerned, and therefore, like Ravuna said, you could not collect with it, not like Rabbi said, there's no proof from the halacha of a Mishnah, where to say that Yisim and Shimon, that one dropped, and this same Yisim and Shimon found it, that's hardly unlikely. That's l'mfil d'chad, l'mfil d'ram, where it happens to be one guy who was memcha, just like a dollar bill, the fact that you're holding it doesn't mean anything. It could be someone dropped and you found it. Therefore, since it's not indicative inside the document who this person is, the fact that he's holding the document, said Rav Huna, and so to Abaya, does not allow him to collect it because we definitely would suspect that maybe someone dropped it and this guy happened to find it.